When we follow Jesus, we're the recipients of the most tremendous, indescribable free gift. And yet, even though we receive that gift, as we're called to work out our discipleship, we are called to make effort. That doesn't mean to say that it's about earning salvation, but in the response to the gift of salvation, we're called to make that effort on a daily basis to become more Christ-like. So first and last, and everything else in between, it's all about receiving the grace of God, but growth in discipleship places that demand upon us to respond to that gift that we are recipients of. Every analogy will always break down, but I'll share the following one with you. Imagine that you go into a showroom and there's really flash sports cars there, and you're eyeing one up, and it's priced at £100,000. And you really like the look of it, and a complete stranger comes over to you and says, "You quite like the look of that, don't you?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "I tell you what, I'd like to help you buy it." And you just laugh at them. No, seriously. They said, I'd like to help you buy that. I can see the look on your eyes. You'd really, really like it. How much have you got on you right now?" And you reach into your pocket and you've got a fiver. It's priced at £100,000. And they say, "Well, I'll tell you what, you throw in your fiver and I'll make up the rest." Now, you've just got to stretch the imagination here. Imagine that actually happens. And so you go over to the desk, the purchase is made, you put in your £5 and they put in the rest to make it up to £100,000. Paperwork's all dealt with and they handed the keys over to you and you can't quite believe what has just happened or what has just happened, but it has just happened. And this person who has suddenly become a very good friend of yours says, "Would you mind just giving me a lift home?" So say, all right. So you make your way across the car park to your new vehicle. You get in, you start up and you're driving this person home. And as on the way out of the showroom, you see somebody that you know. And so you slow down and you wind the window down and they say, "Nice car." And you say to them, pointing at your new friend, "Oh, thanks, yeah, we bought it together." Now, any analogy will break down eventually, including that analogy. But I share it as an image, as a way to help us think about what it means to be the recipient of the gift of grace. Now, the gift of salvation is 100% a gift of grace. Completely. We have done nothing at all to contribute to the gift of salvation. But our tiny contribution, but actually can feel on a daily basis like quite a big thing at times, is to work out that salvation in response to the 100% generosity of God. And when I think about discipleship and about growing in our discipleship, that's how I think about that challenge and what it means, what it looks like. You see, when you follow Jesus, something supernatural happens. The Holy Spirit of God comes to live and dwell within you. And not as a static presence, but as a moving one. That the Spirit of God wants us to grow. Wants us to grow closer to Him and to become ever more alive in Him. And it's a process that doesn't stop. In eternity, it's going to be amazing. But this side of eternity, it's accompanied with a lot of daily struggle. But it's the Holy Spirit in you, the presence of God, dwelling in you supernaturally, whose knowledge is unique, who reveals the wisdom of God to you, who will inspire you and motivate you to serve others, and will give you the mind of Christ. But hear this, we will not grow in that relationship unless we tend to that relationship. And so discipleship, growing in discipleship, means that we tend to that relationship. And that is where a word very close to discipleship or disciple discipline comes in. That if we are going to grow, then we need to tend to that discipline. I've got a quotation which you may have come across before that comes from the late Eugene Peterson. I'm going to get it up on the screen. In fact, let's read this together, because sometimes verbalizing a quotation can help internalize it. Let's say it together. It says, "Worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God." Just dwell on that for a few moments and ask yourself what that might mean. See, to refer to worship as a form of strategy might seem a bit crass. But actually, worship does have that functional role. That when we worship God, it interrupts what is going on in our minds. That human tendency to close in on our own world, to become preoccupied with our own selves. It disrupts that. It disturbs it. It opens things up. And when we do that, when we attend to the presence of God, then we can grow. If we don't interrupt ourselves regularly, then we're not going to attend to Him at all of those other times and in all of those other places. I'll share with you another image, another story. It's in 2007 that the Washington Post carried out a social experiment. There was a violinist set up in a subway and busked for 45 minutes. Now, there's nothing that unusual about that. What was unusual about this particular event was that the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the best in the world. And for 45 minutes, this violin player, who in that same week was playing in venues locally where people were paying hundreds of dollars for a ticket, he just sat up there in a sweatshirt, jeans and trainers, clutching a $3.5 million Stradivarius and played. There were hidden cameras all around about the place just to watch people's reactions or non-reactions as he played. So you've got this international standard musician playing a fine, fine musical instrument, making the most extraordinary music. And yet, in those 45 minutes, 1,097 people walked straight past and ignored him. There was a handful of people that stopped. There was one child that was really interested, that really was tugging away at their parent because they wanted to stop. But everyone just passed by. Hold that image for a moment. As people analysed what was going on in that experiment, the consensus was that it probably was not the case that the people that walked past and ignored what was happening, it probably was not the case that they didn't like the music. Rather, it was more likely the case that they were preoccupied with their day and what they needed to do, such that they didn't notice the brilliance that was right before them. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we were in that situation, would we have acted any differently? You see, you go to a show, to a concert. Imagine you've gone to listen to this guy play in a concert hall, then your expectation is raised. Perhaps you know about him already and you go there anticipating greatness. But in the midst of your everyday life, and you're preoccupied of where you've got to get from A to B, or whatever's got to be accomplished that day,
That forms the agenda of your thinking pattern. And when we are locked into that, our senses become dulled
by the preoccupation of the self and the ordinariness of our everyday lives.
Worship is that strategy by which we need to interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God. So how might we do that? What sort of practical things? Well, classically, there are often what is referred to as the spiritual disciplines. There's no definitive list, but there are a number of different things. Examples include simply praying, including seeking to listen to God, which can take discipline at times when we may not feel like praying. Bible reading. There will be times when we do not feel like picking up and reading. I happen to think, by the way, a really helpful principle is in the mornings, if mornings is the best time, if it works for you, but to have the principle scripture before screens, if we can. Of course, sometimes we might use screens to actually read scripture. But the point is that the danger with screens is that we can go off to, as soon as we pick up a screen, we start looking at our diaries and what's going to happen that day or messages we need to respond to and things like that. Whereas if we can make scripture our starting point, then it just builds a different foundation for that day. But reading scripture can be something that really takes a lot of effort for us to you know, motivation. Solitude is another example. Or community is another example. Now, depending on how we are wired and what our natural inclinations are like, sometimes we will find these things more of a challenging discipline than others. So, for example, if you're somebody that loves being surrounded by people, then solitude is going to be a challenge for you. On the other hand, if you are somebody who instinctively prefers to be on your own and finds it hard work to be surrounded by others, then solitude will be something that might be quite easy for you, but engaging in community can be the challenge. The point is when we talk about disciplines, we're talking about engaging with those things that we actually do find difficult and challenging. And by embracing those things that we find difficult and challenging, so we can grow. The idea is not just to try to inflict pain for the sake of inflicting pain, but to recognise that there are some things that we may not feel like and that we need to interrupt, that we need to disturb, remembering that worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupations in order to tend to the presence of God. I mean, I'll give you an example. There will often be times when we do not feel like giving thanks. We really don't. And we've got to work hard at it in order to cultivate a thankful spirit. There's an old story about two blokes that are walking across a field and they suddenly see a bull and it's charging towards them and they start running and one of them says to the others, they're getting out of breath, quick, pray! And he says, I don't know what to pray. He says, pray something aloud. He said, I don't know, I haven't prayed aloud for years. He said, just pray anything you can think of. And so he just shouts out, Lord, for what we are about to receive, may we be truly thankful. Sometimes we don't feel like giving thanks at all, do we? We need to remember that Paul urges us not to give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. And so, whatever it looks like to engage in that strategy of worship by which we interrupt our preoccupations to attend to the presence of God, we need to do it if we're going to grow, if we're going to grow as disciples. I want to draw attention to something that comes up particularly in the passage this morning, and it comes up elsewhere in Paul's writing as well. And it has to do with the image of putting on and taking off. Because here Paul talks about putting on love. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience. And we find that pair of couplets of taking off the old self and putting on the new recurs over and over again in the writings of Paul. In Ephesians 4, he talks about putting on the new self. And in Ephesians 6 and Romans 13, he talks about putting on the armour of God. You see, discipleship and growing in discipleship, interrupting our preoccupations, often involves having to wrench certain things off, to put things to death, as Paul puts it, and taking new things on. And at first it can be uncomfortable, but as this happens, so we grow. You can, in Clevedon, you can always tell when it's September, and I'm sure it's the same in Nailsea. Because if you walk or drive through the town at around about any time between 8 and 8:45 in the morning, you can see that the schools have just reopened, and the secondary school, you can see all the new Year 7s that are making their way to school in their new school uniforms, which means their blazers come down to about here and the sleeves come down to about here. And you can see them walking along looking slightly awkward, wearing these massive great big blazers, which at that point in time are too large for them. But you know that within a matter of probably weeks, they would have grown into. When Paul talks about putting on these clothing ourselves with these different things, he's talking about things that may not come naturally to us. When he talks about love and clothing yourself with compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience, he mentions them not as things that necessarily come naturally. If they did, he wouldn't need to name them. But rather, he's talking about things that may be quite alien, quite foreign to the instinctive self, but which he invites us into this process of putting on in a way that may not immediately fit, that might feel uncomfortable. I've never worn armour, but Paul talks about the spiritual armour, and I would imagine that to put armour on to begin with, it's quite heavy and uncomfortable. But the point is that as we introduce these things into our lives, into our spirits, even though that may cut across our instincts, as we clothe ourselves in these things, so we grow into them. So we find that we are shaped into a more Christ-like shape, and we grow and grow and grow. That is not something that happens necessarily overnight, although sometimes it can happen quite quickly. But this is a lifelong call, a lifelong invitation to grow in our discipleship and to follow Jesus. And so as we come to pray now, in a few moments, there's going to be a prayer that will come onto the screen that I invite us to join into by way of a confession. But before we do that, rather than just diving straight in, I invite us just to take a few moments just to be still. And I'll lead in a few words of prayer to invite the Holy Spirit to show us those things that perhaps we may need to take off, and also those things we may need to take on. So let's pray together now. Let's be still. Lord, we thank you that your gift of salvation to us is 100% a free gift of your grace, and there is nothing that we have to or can do to earn or to contribute to that. But Lord, you call us to receive it, not just as passive recipients, but as active participants, to grow. And so, Lord, we pray that you would interrupt our preoccupations. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come more deeply into our lives. That we would take off the things of old and have the courage to put on the things of new. That we would grow into them. And so in the quiet stillness of this moment, we confess our sin to you and we bring to you those areas where we struggle. We join together in the words that are on the screen. Lord God, we have sinned against you and we have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us. And restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Continue our prayer as we sing our next song.